You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. My name is Neil, your host, as always. For episode 8, we got a very exciting week going on. A lot of releases, updates, news, all that sort of stuff going on. So won't waste too much time with the prelude, but a bit of a forewarning after the break, got a slightly different format going on for the special announcements going on, so more about that later, but should be back to the normal format next week. Depends, of course, as what happens in the next coming week, but bit of a shameless plug. If you're a Patreon supporter, you already have that change, or you already know about that update, but that is about it. So with that, I will jump right into the episode. So for this week's episode, the theme is materiality. So this is a very unique accounting principle, because it does skirt the lines of judgment, the gray area of accounting, and generally having a best call, generally a judgment call, but does require a bit of a prior history as far as recording transactions. So materiality is an accounting principle that dictates how a transaction should be recorded based on the cost or value of that transaction. So it's generally used when you're looking at the cost of a product and how it weighs in regards to the overall value of the transactions of a company, or generally how much sales or revenue the company makes in a year. So a transaction is generally considered material if that transaction can impact the investment potential in a company or the overall value of a company. So, for example, when you send someone, let's say someone needs to buy a pencil and your shipment from wherever you order your state pencils from hasn't come in yet, so you have them run down to your office store or office supply store, and you have them buy a $1.20 pencil, that's generally not considered very material. So recording it as an expense or writing it off or putting it against your petty cash would be something that would be accepted, because it's not going to affect the cost of your, for example, if you make $1 million in revenue or $50 million in revenue, buying that pencil is not going to put you out of business. But let's say you're going out to buy a brand new server that's going to cost you $5,000, $10,000, or if it's a whole new server for a new office or significantly more, that is actually a significant transaction. So now you do have to, while you're not going to not record the pencil transaction, you have to make sure you record the cost of your servers appropriately. So you're going to record that it's a $50,000 worth of servers. You have to now depreciate that over the life of the servers and use prior experience and prior transactions for the length of time. I believe the gap on that is, I believe, 5 or 7 years if memory serves. But it also depends on how it's been recorded previously. You have to now depreciate it. You have to record that cost, where it was sent to, keep track of your PO, invoice, payments, and all of that stuff. Make sure it's recorded to the right department, general ledger, all of that good stuff. So that's your cost benefit. So those are kind of the extremes on that, but that's kind of also the best call judgment. So same thing as far as file cabinets, for example. So if you're going to be buying one box of file folders that cost $10, it's not a significant hit against the department. But if you're buying boxes and boxes of file folders for the file cabinets for a new office, then that is something that also needs to be considered as far as the cost benefit and how it's recorded and all of that good stuff. So something to consider there. A very important idea of what's going on, and kind of carries over as far as what we see for this week's news, and also more importantly for the entertainment segment as far as some of the announcements that were made. So there's that. So with that, I will jump into this week's news topics, and of course start it off with the Android news. So the big news for this week was that Android M now has its official name, and it is Marshmallow. So the logo or a picture was released, and the statue has gone up at Google, so you can see the Android mascot holding a bit nice big marshmallow. So take a look at that or check it out. It generally reflects, I would imagine, as far as the lightweight nature, some of its more modular designs, and its latest abilities as far as back-end updates and things like that over Lollipop. So a bit of an excitement for this week there. In other news, though, Google Hangouts got a web interface now, so if you don't necessarily use Gmail or Inbox all the time, or you want Hangouts in its own windows to chat and paste links and text and all of that stuff to chat with, visit hangouts.google.com, I believe it is, or web.hangouts.com, something like that. But if you look up Google Hangouts web interface, you'll find, you'll easily get to it, but it has its own web interface to chat more easily, so it's on par with competition like the WhatsApp web interface and the Skype web interface. Google News and Weather got an update this week as well. It now has 7 new languages, including Romania and Bengali, so look out for that in case you use News and Weather and you want it in your native language. Skype got an update this week to now have custom ringtones and photo forwarding, so your profile picture should link a little bit more easily, and you can now set custom ringtones for those contacts that you talk to all the time and you want to make sure you know who's calling you. The Google Sound Search widget got an update to now have or fit more in design in the design form of Android 6 Marshmallow, so look out for that update. So it should look a little bit more, have more transparency and fit more with the Android 5 look, or the Android M look, sorry. Google Photos also got an update to now have the ability to set custom pictures for albums and edit the date for when pictures were taken. So I know the date editing was a big feature that was requested, and you can now have custom picture albums, so you can have that more personal look for your folders. This week, along the lines of LG's recent flip phone announcements, Samsung has announced the G9198 flip phone. It's it runs Android 5.1.1, has two 3.9-inch screens, 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, a 16-megapixel rear camera, a 5-megapixel front camera, and a 20 milliamp-hour battery. So right up in there as far as the mid-range smartphone goes, but in a flip phone interface. Google released a website this week called Project Sunroof. It's a new service to help homeowners decide if the cost of having a sunroof is right for them. So look up Google Project Sunroof, and you'll be able to see if it's something that can help you save some money and make it a worthwhile investment. This week it was announced that some new features are coming to CyanogenMod mod. Via their SDK, so look out for that. I believe it's for Android or CyanogenMod 12.1 and above, so I don't know if it'll be backported to the prior versions, but it is some pretty nifty stuff, so hopefully it does get included in at least CyanogenMod 11 going forward. But the three new features are Kelvin Sense, which uses your device's sensors and built-in thermometers and all of that to detect the ambient temperature in your area and have a more reliable reading. So you should have a better idea of what the temperature is in your area. The other is better dual SIM support, so it should make it easier to better manage your device if you have dual SIM support. And finally, they'll be integrating Tasker into the device, so you should be able to more easily control your the performance of your device and have it do more things. It's kind of an extension, I believe, on what Moto X does with their built-in support for it. So things like the Moto Active Display and various, I forgot what their automated functionalities on the Moto X, but it's kind of along the lines of what they're doing, but with Tasker. If you don't have CyanogenMod running or you don't have it yet, you can always install the Tasker app and check it out for yourself, see what kind of fun functionality and control you can do right away. In other news, a company called Nox has released the Nox App Player. What this does is it allows you to run Android apps on your desktop, kind of along the lines of BlueStacks.
It's currently based on Android 4.4.2, so it should have a familiar interface and does support multiple inputs, so you can use your keyboard and mouse to navigate around. And if you want a more Android look and feel on your PC, then it's definitely worth checking out. In other Samsung news, though, they made an announcement this week that they'll be supporting Android M's fingerprint functionality, so Samsung devices will have that functionality built, or that support will be carried over into Samsung devices, so it will be supported in, for example, the Google Play Store for security and things like that. Xiaomi had a press release or announcement this week. They've announced a new device called the Mi 4i Limited. It does run MIUI version 7. The device itself has a 5-inch screen, 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, 13-megapixel rear camera, a 5-megapixel front camera, a 3120 milliamp hour battery, and will have 5 colors, including blue, yellow, and pink. So it's around the range of a mid to high-end device, so more in the upper ranges of a mid-range device, so check that out in case you want their device. Google has announced a new Android One smartphone for Africa this week called the Infinix Hot 2. It has a 5-inch screen, a 1.3 GHz quad-core processor, an FM radio tuner, 16 gigs of storage, an 8-megapixel rear camera, 2-megapixel front camera, and a 2200 milliamp hour battery, and will run Android 5.1, and it's going to cost approximately $87, so very affordable device. So and especially since it's skirting the lines of a low to mid-range device. Fossil made an announcement this week that they're working on an Android Wear smartphone watch, so look out for that. I didn't see too much as far as specifics on it, so I don't know if they actually released any details, but they did have screenshots of their demo devices as far as what they're going to look like. So basically from what it seemed to me was that it's going to be just your regular Fossil watch, but with a smartwatch built in. Intel and Google are going to be working together to work on more 3D technology in smartphone devices. So it's going to merge the RealSense camera from Intel with the sensor support from Google in Project Tango for motion tracking and 3D mapping. The current device that was announced is going to have a 6-inch display, run Android 5.0.1, have an 8-megapixel sensor, and comes with RGB and IR cameras to do all the mapping and sensor support in the device. In a bit of random news this week, though, Google announced or released a new router called OnHub. So if you ever have issues with your current router, as far as signal dropping or low support, or when you have multiple devices and the bandwidth goes all over the place, OnHub aims to fix all of that by working anywhere in the home. So it doesn't matter if you sit on a desk, on the floor, or which room of the house it's in. It's going to automatically adjust the antenna frequencies for the best signal and the least interference, and can be managed with a mobile app. And the app will be available for Android and iOS. The software itself will get automatic updates. I didn't see anything about the firmware, so the software should stay as up-to-date as possible. And it will also allow you to see how much bandwidth devices are using, so you can see what the problem device is, or if it goes out of whack, you can go to the right device and see exactly what's going on. At the moment, the cost is $199.99, and it did sell out pretty quick, so keep tracking in case they come back in stock, or if they keep going out of stock, then keep checking for when they're back into stock. So that's all for that. But in other news, though, Lego Batman Beyond Gotham was released to Google Play this week for $49.99. So if you can't wait for the next for the Batman v Superman movie coming out next year, check that out. Android Wear got an update this week to now have interactive watch faces for quick access to select information. So if you have a watch face with the time and calendar on it, then touching them will give you more time information and more information, or a calendar, or new appointments, things like that, whatever is built in. So check that out. And then also has things or more information for upcoming events and fitness info. The other more cool feature that's included with the Android Wear update is that Google Translate is now built in, so you can now more easily do translations on the go. So I imagine it has the voice translation as well as text, so if you're not sure what someone's saying, you can have them talk into your watch and have that automatically translated. In other news, though, Boost Mobile is getting a new device from ZTE called the Warp Elite. It has a 5.5-inch screen, 16 gigs of storage, a 13-megapixel rear camera, 5-megapixel front camera, 2 gigs of RAM, and a 1.2 gigahertz quad-core processor, and runs Android 5.1. So look out for that. It's a mid-range device or a low-mid-range device if you're interested in that. In other Cyanogen news, they've teamed up with the company called Zuck to release the Zuck Z1. It's a Z-U-K, or spelled Z-U-K, so look out for that. I actually didn't get a chance to look up what's in the device, but if you want a device running CyanogenMod or CyanogenMod OS or close to stock Android software, then this might be the device for you. In other Samsung news, they've started a new program for iPhone users. So in order to help or transfer people over to Samsung, they are starting a program for $1 and runs for 30 days. The program, not the promotion, but basically if you're an iPhone user and have been considering switching to Android, Samsung wants you. So basically, if you're interested in the Galaxy S6, Galaxy S6 Edge, or the Note 5, you can try any one of those three devices for 1 month. It'll only cost you $1, and you can play around with the device, see if you like it, get used to it. And if you like it, you can make that switch. But essentially, they're making that transition over to help for people to move away from the iPhone or help people make that choice. It's similar to the T-Mobile program, but works on the four major carriers. I didn't see the specifics, but it's probably AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint. So look out for that in case you, or give that a shot in case you want to try a Samsung device or an Android device. Outlook for iOS got an update this week to have more integration with Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. So look out for that in case you want to more easily open documents in those programs. This week, Sergey Brin made an announcement that Life Sciences will now officially be the first other subsidiary of Alphabet. So Google is the first, so look out for that, or more information coming there, and that will be a whole new company, so you should look out for more cool stuff coming from them. And finally, Google Canary is reportedly going to start getting automatic spell check built in. So it's currently in the Canary build and it works across multiple languages automatically, so it doesn't matter if you switch between languages, use only one language or anything like that, but you'll automatically get the well-known red squiggly line that something was spelled wrong, so look out for that. But that is all for that, so now I will now jump into this week's other tech news. WhatsApp for iOS started getting an update to now allow access to WhatsApp Web. Up to last week, this was a feature that was Android only that basically allowed you to, that when you visited web.whatsapp.com, you would get a QR code. And if you're on Android, you would open up WhatsApp, go to WhatsApp, click the overflow menu to hit WhatsApp Web. And you would get the QR code scanner and you would point it at your browser and it would automatically log you in. So this now allows you to do this on iOS as well. For those of you who have a Windows phone and have a Nest thermostat, Cozy was launched as a Windows 10 service to allow you to get access to your Nest thermostat, so look out for that. Square updated their app to now allow sending money via Apple Watch, so if you do use a Square or have an Apple Watch, look out for that. Microsoft is working on a new service and app called Newscast, which is a news app that automatically summarizes the day's news and reads it back to you with voice. It uses Bing on the back end as far as a text-to-speech engine, so check that out if you want, or look out for that if you are interested. In other Microsoft news, the Xbox One is getting high-quality streaming by default on Windows 10, so if your audio sounds a little bit better, that is why. Microsoft announced this week that they'll be blocking games using Save Disk and Secure ROM DRM in Windows 10 due to lack of regular support. So in case you're wondering why that doesn't work too well, then that is probably why. 53 announced this week that Paper is going to be getting an app for the iPhone. In case you don't know what that is, it's not the Facebook service that was released, but it is a... Basically, you can get a pad of paper that is in the shape of an iPhone with an outline for the frame and the screen and the home button. And it lets you sketch out ideas for your app, so you can kind of get a visual idea of what's looking, what it's going to look like, or if you have an idea of what you want an app to look like, that would be what it looks like on paper. It's kind of like the post-it note for app development. So basically, that company is working on an app, so you can do it, actually design on your phone on the go and get an idea of how it would actually look like and probably move around stuff and that sort of thing, so look out for that. Nuance Software, the company that does the voice to or text-to-voice dictation, is working on a new app called Dragon Anywhere that should be coming or is expected to release in fall of 2015 for Android and iOS as a mobile cloud-based version of the same software. So if you want their back end, then look out for that. The developers of the Room, or the developers of the game called The Room, announced that they are in the final stages of The Room 3. This is a puzzle-based 3D game, so essentially you're in a room with a device and you have to figure out how to unlock it. There's only two versions coming out, but they're working on some final bugs and UI issues and puzzle answers and things like that, so look out for that coming soon. LinkedIn Lookup was released this week for iOS with the Android version coming soon. What it does is it's going to allow, or it's aiming to allow coworkers to more easily communicate with each other and be the back end for current coworkers. So as long as you're working for the same company, this will be available to you. As soon as you switch your jobs, you will no longer be allowed to access that directory, and it does require you to be a current employee of that company. Windows 10 Mobile got a new, all-new USA Today app, which is a dedicated Windows 10 version. If you're on Windows 8.1, you have a separate version, so you'll kind of get an improved look and feel if you are on Windows 10 and more current and more applicable layout. RetailMeNot got an update this week to now support Apple Watch. It'll offer nearby deals, deal notifications, and the ability to show barcodes to redeem offers, so it makes it that much more easy to redeem your RetailMeNot deals. Microsoft updated the Bing app this week to have a more Google Now on Tap idea, so you can now get a link or get see links to related sites as you're browsing around in the app. So if you're on a web page that's talking about a movie and there's an IMDb link, it'll allow you to get directly to that page or app. This is something that's coming soon to Google Now on Tap. So in case I'm guessing this is, at the moment, it's not going to be on prior versions of Android until the app is updated. So if you want this kind of interaction, then check out the Bing app. The Bing Knowledge Graph also was released this week to developers. So for those of you who you want to use Bing as the backend, that is also an update, or that is also available. The Sony Smartband 2 was released this week. It's an all-new or an updated version of their fitness tracker. It's going to be supported on Android 4.4 and above and iOS 8.2. It comes with an accelerometer, heart rate sensor, and is waterproof. And the current estimate on the battery life is up to 2 days. For those of you who are into the Amazon ecosystem and want HBO Now, it is now available on the Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick, so look out for that. For those of you who use Savin for your Indian music, it is coming to Windows on August 27th, so look out for that. And finally, the Yahoo Weather app for iOS is getting an update to now give you a 15-minute rain warning. So if rain is forecast in the next 15 minutes and you haven't left home, then you'll get that notification so you can leave home with your umbrella. So look out for that update. It should already be rolling out. But in case it's not, look out for it or keep checking your updates area. I actually kind of haven't had a chance to see if it's going to be coming soon to Android or not. I'm guessing it is, but look out for that as well. But I haven't seen any news on that front. But that is all for that. All the tech news for this week. So after the short break, stay tuned for all the entertainment news that happened for this week. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you, because you can now help and support the show in 3 awesome and excellent ways. The first is by simply visiting patreon.com/patelN01 and check out some of the great milestone goals and rewards you get by simply donating as much as you're able, be it $1, $5, $20, whatever you feel comfortable with, to help the show expand in ways like adding more posts to the feed, an Android app and removing ads, that sort of thing. So definitely check it out. That's patreon.com/patelN01. You can also get some great deals and discounts by visiting geek-io.net/support. You can get discounts on Tweaked Audio headphones, so you get some great audio while you listen to podcasts, movies, music, whatever have you. Or even by getting a discount on great security software provided by ProXPN. So definitely check that out. It's definitely worth your while, especially if you're on the geeky, nerdy side of things. Especially if you want to show that fandom and geekiness by wearing a t-shirt provided by T-Fury. So that's geek-io.net/support. Now, finally, let's say you love this show, you want to hear more and listen to more shows like it, you can visit patreon.com/geekio. Or visit geek-io.net and check out more shows like this and help support the network, help it expand and grow, help us host, do more and provide you with more and continued great content. That's patreon.com/geekio. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
And welcome back to the episode, everybody. So quite a bit of exciting entertainment news, so to speak. So a bit of forewarning that this week's second half of the show is a little bit of a different routine than what the first few episodes have been. So basically the idea this week, because of the announcements made at D23, is rather than have a full-on movie review, I'm doing a separate segment called Recently Watched. So more on what I've watched over throughout this week, just to cover that, because there's no actual movie review, something to cover that segment, and then following that, I will have the app review for this week, which is actually themed to what, or to match the review of what was generally announced at D23 this year, and it's basically the more important news segment. So this is kind of the merging between the movie segment and or the film review and the Star Wars profile, because it is on all Star Wars information. So with that, I will jump right into it. So a bit about what I watched this week or over the past week and a half. So I had a chance to finish watching American Horror Story Coven, which is the third season. This is what's on available, or the latest as to what's available on Amazon Instant Video. So overall, a pretty good season. Like kind of like where they went with it. It was a bit slower than where they went with the first two seasons. Early on, the first half of the season is actually the bulk of what sets up the story, and then they pretty much level off. Not in a bad way, but they actually did a pretty good job to keep it going for the rest of the season. And I liked how they ended it. So definitely worth watching, especially if you're a fan of the American Horror Story series. In general, it is about witches and a witch's coven. I did like the storyline that they had between Kate something or other, I forget what her name is off the top of my head, and Angela, I think Angela Bassett, I want to say, the two old-time Louisiana ladies in the, so basically the voodoo witch and then the lady who married into the rich family. So I like that part of it a little bit more than the actual coven, but they worked everything in together nicely. But now that that's finished, I had a chance to start watching Boardwalk Empire Season 3, so the continuing storyline of Nucky and his changing scenario or problems and issues as far as bootlegging goes, the changing partnerships that are going on with New York and New Jersey, the changing alliances and the shifts in alliances, and how everyone's just trying to get a piece of the cut. So pretty good there. I'm about halfway through the season at the moment, and I continue to like this show. I do have a particular interest in period pieces, so there is that. Overall, they're doing pretty good, but we'll see how they round it out. That's as far, or at the moment, that's as far as is on American or Amazon Instant Video. So I can't wait till they put up more. As soon as they get more of American Horror Story and Boardwalk Empire on Instant Video, I'll continue watching those. But at the moment, I'm planning on rounding out
Boardwalk Empire Season 3. After the next show, I will mention what the following series I'm going to get into is as well. Otherwise, I have been keeping up to date with Hell on Wheels. I had a chance to watch Season 5, Episode 5, Elixir of Life. Basically, we have the continuing, or we have more of the alliance between Chang and the Swede. So we see what the deal is with the rice and the firearms. And then also the uneasy alliance between Chang and Cullen. So we kind of see how Chang is playing everybody a little bit, and we're kind of what he's trying to go at it. But since we know that he's been part of the, as far, if I remember right, the mafia back in China, that's kind of where his take on it is, and the growing difference between him and his own workers as well. And because I do have a also, or I also like a well-made Western dramas, I started, or I had a chance to watch Season 1, Episode 1 of Deadwood. Three seasons are on Amazon Instant Videos. As far as I know, there's only three seasons, but we'll see. But it only stopped at Season 3, so that's why I figure that's all there is. But once I finish Boardwalk Empire Season 3, the plan is to start watching more of Deadwood until there's something else, or at least get through the first season and then go from there. But the first episode was pretty good. I kind of liked it, so we'll go from there. And I didn't look this up yet, but it looked like the guy from that other, I think, Down South show, the guy who plays a cop, is in this. So I kind of liked it. It kind of seemed weird seeing him, but worth seeing as well. But also this week I had a chance to watch continue watching Falling Skies. I watched Season 5, Episode 8, Stalag 14th Virginia. So we have the continuing trial of Tom Mason, so we see the results of that, what happens, and then we also get the backstory as to why Katie has been acting very oddly, and Weaver actually finds out the reason for that. It actually, if you kind of guess us, you can kind of guess where they're going with that storyline. So it pretty much is what you'd expect as far as that. But it comes to light as far as why she's been acting strangely. And we get the semi-conclusion of that storyline. So there is that as well. So that is really all for that. I haven't really had a chance to watch much else, so I'll continue to watch those three shows at least, Boardwalk Empire, Falling Skies, and Hell on Wheels. And then anything else that comes up as well. I know Lawrence of Arabia was recently added to Amazon Instant Video, so I'm planning to watch that eventually as well. I've been hearing really good things about Straight Outta Compton, so I'm planning to watch that maybe this weekend. But I haven't had a chance to go to the theaters as well, so we'll see about that. I might wait for a DVD or rental release on that as well, but the plan is to watch that in the theaters if I can. So with that, I will jump right into this week's app review, which is the official Star Wars app. So it is available for Android and iOS for free. It's a pretty pretty full-packed app as far as what it has available. My favorite feature is the weather portion of it. So it uses your location to automatically determine where you are and give you the temperature and forecast. But the cool part about this is that it tells you also what Star Wars planet the weather feels like. So if it's, you know, extremely hot, like let's say 85 or 100, I imagine that they would say it feels like Mustafar. For me, I've gotten around 70 to 80 degrees, so it feels like Endor. So that looks pretty cool, and you get a screen based on that planet. If you touch it, it'll give you more information about the planet. Scrolling will give you an extended weather forecast, all of that. You also get a soundboard with popular quotes, so make sure your volume's up for this. So if you want to jump in with your favorite Star Wars quotes that are available, you can do that. There's also GIFs and emojis, so you can save them, share them, see what's available, and use them in your own or in your third-party messaging apps if you want to use those, or share them as well. There's also an official news feed, so if you want to get the latest and greatest Star Wars news, whether it's from D23 or just in general as we get more Star Wars news, There's the official news feed lets you get the latest articles. It will automatically refresh, and you can see what's available there as well. So definitely worth checking out for the official news. And then also share the articles however you want. So whether it's Facebook, Google+, Twitter, email, text message, anything like that, that is all available. There's also a customizable selfie camera, so you can take a picture of yourself with in certain locations and with select characters. So you can take a picture with Boba Fett, Yoda, Darth Vader, or as a rebel. I think also in Carbonite, if I remember right, and then change to Endor, Mustafar, and various other locations. So pretty nifty thing there. And then there's also a Force Trainer, so it lets you learn how to use a lightsaber and practice with the training ball, and then work your way up from there. I haven't mastered that part of it yet myself, so I haven't seen too much of that, but it is pretty cool and worth a shot. So as I mentioned, it's available for iOS and Android, and it's free on both platforms, so definitely worth a shot. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I will jump into this week's Star Wars news from the D23 Expo 2015. So to start it off with the biggest news, I thought, is that Disney has announced that they are adding Star Wars themed lands to the Anaheim, California and Orlando, Florida theme park. So look out for that. It's going to be each park is going to get 14 acre land. And they're going to have signature attractions. So not only is it going to be a theme park built around Star Wars, but you're going to have two main attractions. The first is going to be the ability to take control of the Millennium Falcon and fly it around. So we'll get more details on that soon, I hope, but look out for that. The other is the ability to take part in an epic adventure that puts you in a climactic battle. So I imagine it's going to be something along the lines probably as the Back to the Future or King Kong or Fast and Furious ride at Universal Studios, but we shall see more about that. But look out for that. It's actually pretty interesting. I found it pretty cool, especially since they're adding it to both United States parks. That is definitely worth looking out for. I also think I saw that they're not going to be doing anything with Star Tours. That will remain in Tomorrowland. So as far as I remember and saw, that's the plan at the moment, to leave it where it is. And the Star Wars land is going to be its own themed area. So you can go and say you are going to Star Wars land and to check that out. The other news that was announced is principal photography has begun for Star Wars Rogue One. This is going to be a new movie that takes place prior to Star Wars A New Hope and centers around the rebels who stole the plans for the original Death Star. So we get to see how that happens and all of that good stuff. So we'll probably see not only the rebels, but maybe the birth of Rogue Squadron. We'll see more of what the Emperor and Darth Vader have been up to, and just generally the status of the Empire prior to Star Wars A New Hope. If you check out the Disney Twitter feed, there's a picture of the main actors and actresses that are going to be in the movie as well. And finally, to round it out for the big news from D23, Colin Trevorrow has been signed on at the moment to direct Star Wars Episode 9, so look out for that. If you're not sure who he is, he's most recently known for directing Jurassic World, so if you like the look and feel of that, he's going to probably bring more of that to Star Wars. But we know he can do blockbuster films and handle that kind of sci-fi action kind of movie. Otherwise, he's known for Safety Not Guaranteed and reality shows, so he also has that other story-based movie experience, so look out for that. But that's all there is for this. That I know, kind of a short episode this week, a lot more on the tech news side of things, but from next week, the episodes should resume the normal course of events. But that is all for this particular episode. If you guys want more to see more of what goes into each week's episodes as far as stories, news items, things that are happening throughout the week as they happen, then be sure to like Life of an Accounting Droid on Facebook. Visit facebook.com/lifeofaccountingdroid. Life of an Accounting Droid. The link is also on the website at patelin01.com. You can also check out Life of an Accounting Droid on the Geek.io network and find more shows like it by visiting geek-io.net. And you can also get links to our great sponsors and the Geek.io Patreon feed as well to help support the show on the network. You can find Life of an Accounting Droid on Twitter also at PatelN01 and on Google Plus at gplus.patelN01.com. But if you want to get in touch with me, you can also email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com or, as I mentioned, visit the Twitter feed. And, of course, all links can be found at patelN01.com or geek-io.net. But that is all for this episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next.